Thank you for being here. My sincere gratitude for this opportunity to be with all of you in Bhaktivedanta Manor on this divine auspicious occasion of Sri Balaram Jayanti. Srila Prabhupada writes, Kapila, Haribo, we missed you at Kuli Mela.
I missed you, but I was happy to see you there.
I'm happy to see you here. Srila Prabhupada writes that Balaramji especially descends into this world to give us all the strength and clear the impediments for us to develop pure love for Krishna. That is his most intimate lila, to serve Krishna by making all arrangements for all the living entities within the spiritual world to enjoy with Krishna, and to make amazing arrangements to give the opportunity for all the conditioned souls in this world to become pure devotees and love Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has said that Bala means strength. Rama means one who takes great pleasure in displaying such strength. And this is not material strength. People try to solve the problems of material anxieties by making various arrangements. The strength of scientific research, the strength of academic knowledge, the strength of strong, healthy bodies, the strength of politics and militaries. But all of these material, physical or mental forms of strength can never solve the real problems of life. In this material existence, everyone, to various degree, is in anxiety. Srila Prabhupada explains that the little ant crawling on the ground and the big elephant, they're both in anxiety. The simple sweeper of the street and the grand, powerful kings and leaders of nations, always subject to anxiety. Dukalayam ashashvatam. And basically, the entire history of human civilization is how different people at different times try to somehow or other deal with their anxieties. But what is real strength? Real strength is coming from Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is manifesting strength. Because you may be very strong, or you may be very intellectual, but what is the source of that? It's the spirit soul. It's that spirit soul within the body that animates everything, that is the source of all life. There could be no strength without the soul. There could be no knowledge or intelligence without the soul. Even the greatest athletes, the greatest conquerors of the past, when they die, where is their strength? The greatest intellectuals, When they pass away, where is their intelligence? So all power is coming from the Atma, the soul. And why does the soul have such potential power? Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Because it is infinitesimally a part and parcel of Krishna. And especially by accessing the blessings and the mercy of Sri Balaram, the strength of the soul, the strength of God is manifested to empower us to overcome all impediments. Srila Prabhupada and all the previous acharyas, this is the one point they were so insistent on. Quoting Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that when we try to create material solutions to material problems, the solution creates more complications than the original problem, even if it solves the problem. We can see that in the world today. We're solving problems, but in the process we're creating bigger, more complicated, and more devastating problems. Because we have forgotten that the only real solution is on the spiritual platform. Bhakti is the process of transforming material energy into spiritual energy. Krishna tells in Gita, Abhrama bhuvana loka puna ravartano jana mamupeta tukonte yaputa puna janma navijyate. The creator, the manufacturer of this universe, knows how it works. Now, there can be so many poets and artists and writers who give their interpretations of what material existence is, but Krishna knows. He's the authority. He made it. He's sustaining it. And he explains from the highest planet in this material world, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest, and everything in between, they are all places of impending suffering. Because there is birth, old age, disease, and death. And no matter what arrangement anybody makes, it remains the same. Who was it? Kolavecha Sridhar, during the Mahaprakash Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was offered any benediction. And the man was materially so poor. He was emaciated due to lack of proper food. His house was just a thatched hut. In the rainy season, the rain would come pouring through his roof. The only furniture he had was an old, dented iron pot that he used for water. And he was selling bananas and banana leaves and banana bark, banana flowers. And he would especially charge as least as possible. But he was a great devotee, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered any benediction. I will give you anything. I'll give you wealth like Indra. I'll give you mystic cities where you could perform great miracles. I'll give you liberation from suffering forever. Or, if you like, I'll give you promotion to the spiritual world. Kolavecha Sridhar said, I don't want any of these things. I only want to be the servant of your servants and see your beautiful form of Nimai stealing my bananas. And when Nimai would come to steal his bananas, he would harass him. Why do you worship Krishna? What is the use of worshiping Krishna? All these other people are atheists or agnostics, or they're worshiping demigods and they have nice houses and nice food and you don't have anything. What is the use of this Krishna worship? And Sridhar said, I've seen in this world that whether one is wearing the feathers, being a bird, or whether one is a king wearing ornament and crowns and silks, what's the difference? The bird and the king, they both have anxieties. They both struggle. Adiatmak, adidaivak, adibhautikav. And ultimately they grow old, they get disease, and they die. I don't really see much difference. He only wanted love of Krishna. That was the only wealth. So this is the main theme that we have to really try to understand very carefully. That yes, there are so many problems in this world, but Maya has created this existence like a spider web. I'm sure you have all studied when flies get caught in a spider web. The more they try to get out, the more they get entangled. And they actually think they're getting out. They think the harder I struggle, the better it'll, the more I'll get out. But actually, the more they struggle, the more they get entangled. Yes? Their attempt to be free of anxiety, it's what's putting them in more anxiety. Does that make sense? That's the way material nature is created. And nobody could change that. You can't make the sun cool. You can't make material nature different from what it is. It's a spider web. And Prahlad Maharaj explained. Kaumara achade pragyo dharma bhagavatanya. The only real solution is we have to look for spiritual solutions. Otherwise, it's all cosmetic. You have boils on your skin, it's causing you problems, so you put salve on it. It might make it apparently better, but the real problem is a disease in the blood. So on this holy day of Balaram Jayanti, Srila Prabhupada has welcomed us to really turn to the real solutions to the problems of material existence. By turning to Balaramji, who is the Guru Tattva. Prabhupada said all of the spiritual masters are manifestations of the power and the grace of Balaram. And by their grace, they actually help us to come to the spiritual platform, wherein we can actually transform material energy into spiritual energy through devotional service. And when Krishna says all these places in this material world are places of misery, but one who comes to me never returns, yes, Krishna has his divine abodes beyond material existence in the Paravyoma or the spiritual sky. But Krishna, Vrindavan, is also within the heart of all of the devotees. And when we access that, then we can actually begin to manifest that spiritual power and energy within this world. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta after two heart attacks, he wrote, he couldn't write for about a week in his diary because he was so sickly. But then he wrote down in his first entry after his heart attacks how he was struggling between life and death. And then he said, I am feeling great separation from Sri Vrindavan Dham and my lords, Gopinath, Govinda, and Radha Damodar. And then he wrote that I have left the great land of Bharat Bhumi only on the order of my spiritual master, in pursuance of the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to spiritualize the world through bhakti. He said, I have no qualification, but still they have sent me So I will try my best. And then he said, I am fully dependent on their mercy, so far away from Vrindavan. So in these feelings of separation and love, Srila Prabhupada was transforming wherever he went into Vrindavan. Bhavadvita Bhagavata Stirta Bhuta Swayam Devam. The Bhagavad says, wherever a great devotee places his or her lotus feet, that place becomes a place of pilgrimage. It is Vrindavan. Why? Because they are carrying Vrindavan and Radha and Krishna and Balaram in their hearts. And to the degree we are receptive to their mercy through our humility and our service attitude and our sincerity to hear the glories of the Lord and chant the holy names, they could reveal Vrindavan to us anywhere. Prabhupada personally came here, and right where we're sitting, he danced in ecstasy. We have all seen the photos and the videos. And he established Radharani and Gokulananda. He who enjoys Gokul. That means he's enjoying here. That means this is Gokul. Not figuratively, not symbolically, but actually, this is Gokul. If we don't see it, it's because of the cataract of material ego that's covering our eyes. So much blurriness. Even if you go to Vrindavan, if you have those cataracts, what will you see? You'll see hogs and sewage and so many other things. But will you actually? Hey Radhe, Vrajadeva, Kecha, Lalite. We don't see what the Goswamis see. But Srila Prabhupada wrote that wherever the devotees are gathered together chanting the holy names and serving in the spirit of devotion, that place is Vrindavan. One time he wrote in one purport that New Vrindavan is non-different than Goloka Vrindavan. And the devotees at New Vrindavan became quite proud. They were really trying to canvass people to leave their temples and come there. Because this is Goloka Vrindavan. It's in Prabhupada's purport. But then in another purport, Prabhupada said, wherever there's a temple of Krishna, that is Goloka Vrindavan. So that was very good. So it is that spiritual strength that is descending by the mercy of Sri Balaramji that we desperately require to overcome the impediments and the confusions of this material existence and to actually engage in devotional service. Sri Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna in the spiritual world of Goloka. Prabhupada said in one place, he wrote, the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna, his complexion is like a monsoon rain cloud, and Balaram's complexion is like a spring cloud. They are the one and same Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the special feature of Balaram is he is Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Eternally, the absolute truth finds the greatest pleasure in serving. And because he's unlimited, Balaramji serves unlimitedly. What enthusiasm! He's really the Acharya. What enthusiasm! His service is so complete, so thoughtful. Everything. He becomes Krishna's shoes. Literally. He manifests himself personally as Krishna's shoes, as Krishna's clothes, as Krishna's ornaments, as Krishna's bed, as a tzitz. He manifests the entire spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. That's a manifestation of Balaram. Just to accommodate loving relationships for the pleasure of Krishna. And he's so enthusiastic that all of the rasas, the major rasas, Balaram is key. Generally, you're either Shantaras or Dasyaras or Sakyaras, Vatsalyaras or Madhuryaras. But Balaram is all of them simultaneously, forever, enthusiastically. He's a servant of Krishna in neutrality, as all of these articles that I'm talking about. The different paraphernalia of Krishna, he's serving in that way. As a servant, he's carrying out the orders of Krishna. As a friend, he's going out every day in the cowherd pastures and playing games with Krishna and joking with Krishna. Because he's Krishna's elder brother, he also has Vatsalya Ras. He's always worried about Krishna and trying to protect Krishna. Just like when Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya. Kaliya was busy doing something else that day, so Krishna went by himself with the cowherd boys. And then they all smelled the poison in a lake and they died, and Krishna brought them back to life by his glance. Which is very, very meaningful. Because spiritually we're all like dead. But if somehow or other Krishna casts his glance upon us, he gives us our spiritual lives back. We've been poisoned by the Kaliya serpent venom of lust and envy and anger and pride and greed and illusion. We've forgotten our identity. Birth after birth after birth. Like spiritually dead. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna so he is happy to see you. And what happens when he sees you? We find out in the story. He looks at you and you come alive. Your soul is liberated. That's all it takes, is a glance from Krishna. So many of us, after so many years of struggling against material energy and trying to be faithful devotees, we think, when is Krishna going to glance? He's watching. And he knows what's best for us. And at the right time, he will cast that glance and awaken the eternal qualities of the soul. Awaken our love. So while Krishna was in the coils of Kaliya, all the Brijabasis were falling to the ground, very, very much disturbed. And Balaram was laughing. He said to everyone, why is Kaliya so lucky? In my form as Sheshanaga, which is like a snake, he never plays with me like that. But he's playing with this snake, pretending to be in his coils. And he looked at the Brijabasis and he said, there is no worry of this insignificant, weak little water snake. Because my little brother Krishna, he is very powerful. So Vatsalya Ras, he was always in a mood of protecting Krishna. And Madhurya Ras, he expands himself as Srimati Radharani's younger sister, Ananga Manjari. And in this way, he's constantly in the most confidential, loving services of Radha and Krishna. This is the enthusiasm of Nityananda Prabhu. This is the enthusiasm of Balaramji. Now all of you, or many of you, are preparing for Janmashtami. How many of you have some services to prepare for Janmashtami? Especially, you should pray to Lord Balaram to help you to prepare for Janmashtami. Because that's exactly what Balaram did for the original Janmashtami. He's the one that prepared the way for Krishna to descend. And Balaramji appeared in this world on this day. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. How Krishna, he decided to descend into this world. Vasudeva and Devaki were imprisoned by Kamsa. And they had six sons, who were killed by Kamsa. And Srila Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that these six sons were previously cursed by Hiranyakashipu in a previous life. They were sons of a demon named Kalanemi. And they went to perform tapasya to Lord Brahma to get powers, but they didn't ask Hiranyakashipu's permission. So they got all their powers. But then Hiranyakashipu, he couldn't tolerate that they would do anything without his blessings. So he cursed them. In your next births, you will be killed by your own father, Hare Krishna. So Kalanemi became Kamsa. And they were killed. And they represented, they're the sons of Marichu, who represents the mind. They represent lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion, the six enemies. They have to be removed before Krishna manifests from our heart. And Devaki represents bhakti. Due to her fear of Kamsa, she was not wasting any time. She was not exploring material energy. She was really taking shelter of Krishna. So when we have some fear of material energy, then we become very serious and sober, and we really take shelter of Krishna. And by doing so, we can remove all of these impediments. And then it's explained that Balaramji himself, by his own sweet will, he entered the womb of Devaki. Why? To prepare for Janmashtami. Just like all of you. You are doing Baladev's seva. Prepare for Janmashtami. He was preparing, just like you're preparing the grounds of Bhaktivedanta Manor for Krishna to appear and give his mercy to so many people, hundreds or tens and thousands of people. So similarly, Sri Balaramji was preparing Devaki's womb to be a very, very suitable place for Krishna to manifest himself to do the same thing, to give his mercy to all the people of this material existence for all time to come. In the Harivamsa, it is described how Rohini was the wife of Vasudev, and a very dear Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj were like cousin brothers. And when Vasudev was in prison, Rohini was pregnant, and he sent her to Gokul, Mahavan, to be under the care of Nanda. So she went. And she was having a child. She was so happy having a child. And one night, it was midnight, she had a dream while she was deeply sleeping. In this dream, she sensed that she had a miscarriage. Soon after, she woke up and discovered it was true. She actually had a miscarriage. She was in anxiety. Then Yogamaya appeared to her and spoke and said, actually, I have taken the child out of your womb and he will be replaced. He will be replaced by the son of Devaki. Not exactly taking the child out of the womb, but the child of Devaki will be transferred into your womb. And therefore his name will be Shankarshan. And she became pregnant again. But now Sri Balaramji was personally in her womb. Then Krishna called for Yogamaya. Krishna told Yogamaya to do this. And Krishna also told Yogamaya that after you transfer Balaram to his original mother, Rohini, because in the Goloka Vrindavan, Rohini is his eternal spiritual mother. So he was brought back to his original mother, and then Yogamaya and Krishna entered into the womb that was so expertly prepared by Balaramji. So from the very beginning, and we read about Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he also appeared years before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Ekachakra, he was just preparing the way for Mahaprabhu's arrival. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Nityananda Prabhu, all the way, so long, far away from Ekachakra, he cried out in ecstasy, and the whole universe shook. He was so happy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. And in the spirit of Balaram, his whole life was simply to assist, to give people love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Bhaja Gaurango, Kaho Gaurango, Laho Gaurango Namre. This was his preaching. Chant the names of Gauranga, worship Gauranga. Become Lord Gauranga's devotee. And if you do so, you will become my life and soul. So Krishna and Balaram, they were born just a few days apart, actually, just so that they could play with each other like equals. Balaram was a little older, and they were crawling around and grabbing onto calves' tails and being dragged through the mud. And so many beautiful stories. Sometimes they would crawl and crawl, and they'd hear some ankle bells of a gopi, and they thought it was their mothers, Rohini and Yashoda, and they'd go crawling, 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 and they'd reach them, and then they'd look up and see it wasn't their mothers, and they would become so scared, they would begin to cry and crawl away as fast as they could, and everyone would laugh. Now, when babies, ordinary babies cry, it's not so nice. But when they would cry, everyone would be in ecstasy. Whatever they did put everyone in ecstasy. And then Sukadeva Goswami explains after some time they learned how to walk together at the same time. They actually describes very specifically they learned how to walk without the help of others. Previously they would hold on to Nanda Maharaj's finger and he would hold them up and then he'd take his finger away and then they'd fall down. Supreme Lord, the Absolute Truth, the source of Mahavishnu, can't walk. Totally depending on his father. And it's not just a game, it's the relationship of love. Krishna loses himself in the love of his father. And his father forgets that he's the Absolute Truth. Who in Gita he says, I am the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligence, the ability in man. This is love in its most intimate spiritual forms. And then they were given care of the calves. And today is there's many occasions that today we celebrate. If we had more time, we can speak on more subjects. But it was today that, on Balaram's birthday, that Balaram stayed back to get abhishekas, and given charity. It's very interesting. In the birthdays in Vedic culture, the person whose birthday is gives gifts to everyone. Today, when it's your birthday, everyone gives you gifts. But the idea in Vedic culture is when you give to people, you get something much better than when you get something from people. Giving gifts, you gain so much internally, which is what's all important. Receiving gifts is not as important. So So on that day, Lord Brahma, after seeing Krishna, how he devastated and liberated Akasura, he came and he stole the cowherd boys and the calves on Balaram Jayanti. And he kept them all hidden for 1 year, and Krishna manifested himself as every calf and every gopa. And 1 year later, when Brahma came and saw everything and couldn't understand what was going on, and then he saw every calf and every cowherd boy turn into Vishnu, and then he was really bewildered. And then after that, he saw everything disappear, and there was little Krishna with a lump of yogurt and fruit salad in his hand, looking for the gopas. And Brahma came and surrendered. That was also Balaram's appearance day. Shri Balaramji ki jai. One day, when Krishna and Balaram just entered their Poganda Leela. Poganda means from 6 years old to 10 years old. At that time, on the eighth day of the bright fortnight of the moon, in the month of Kartik, is Gopastami. That is when Nanda Maharaj gave Krishna and Balaram charge of the cows and oxen. It's a big step from the little calves to the cows. And they would go out with their bare feet and herd all the cows. And soon after that, Sri Dama, Stoka, Krishna, Subal, they approached Krishna and Balaram. And they said, nearby is a forest called Talavan. And there are very, very sweet, ripe, and luscious fruits. We can smell the fragrance even from distance away. And those fruits are heavily laden on the trees. And there are many, many just falling to the ground. And nobody's eating them. Because there is an asura who has taken the form of an ass. His name is Denukasura. So vicious. He was so huge. And he was especially famous because he would eat humans alive. He wouldn't kill them and eat them. He would chew on them alive. I guess they taste better that way. Or I should say, we taste better that way. It's a delicacy to eat humans alive for Denukasura. That was how demoniac he was. And he would not allow anyone to have any fruits. In fact, whatever he and his associates, who were also in the same forms, were eating, whatever was surplus, he would send to Kamsa. He was like the fruit supplier to Kamsa. They said, "Oh, Rama, Rama, Mahabaho, that, oh, Rama, you are very strong. And Krishna, you are very kind. So we know that you could go there, and if you slay these demons, then everyone in Vrindavan can enjoy these nice fruits." Now, our acharyas explain, the cowherd boys really didn't care about eating the fruits themselves. They just wanted to see Krishna and Balaram happy. They already saw he killed Bakasura, and he killed Putana, and he killed Trinavarta, and he killed Agasura. He has fun killing these demons. So they just wanted Krishna to have fun, and Balaram to have fun. And also, that they would enjoy these fruits. But they knew that Krishna always wants to please the devotees, so they were saying, "We want it." Because they knew if they say, "We want it," Krishna would do it, and then Krishna would have fun, and Krishna would enjoy. This was their strategy. The strategy of selfless love, reciprocation. So Balaram went into the Talavan forest first, and he started shaking trees really hard. These were huge trees. And the trees were shaking, 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 and hundreds of fruits were falling to the ground. Denukasura heard this. He was absolutely furious. He could not believe that anyone would come into his forest and do that. It wasn't like he was coming at night secretly. It was in the middle of the day. That was really a blow to the ego of Dhenukasura. So Dhenukasura came charging and roaring. Now, we can't imagine the roar of a gigantic ass. But really loud. Sorry, but I have to dovetail my propensities. Should I end or should I continue? It's... I'm going to tell the story about Rama Harshan, so before that I'm going to protect myself. What was the sound Dhenukasura was making? Everyone, please. Louder, please. Not suitable for this. Dhenukasura's eyes were blazing red in fury. He ran up to Balaramji. He was screaming. And please understand, Dhenukasura was huge. He was monstrous. It's like hundreds of elephants. And he turned around and faced his rear side to Balaram, which is not very polite. And then with all of his might, he hurled his rear legs, poof, and he kicked Balaramji with his hooves right in the chest. And Balaram stood there. Dhenukasura was now just mad with anger. And he after he kicked him several times, he started running around in circles. Then again he put his rear end toward Balaram and kicked him even harder and harder. And Balaramji just stood there. Then very gracefully, with one hand, Balaramji grabbed hold of both of his hind legs and lifted him up and whirled him around in circles. So fast that Dhenukasura, he died of dizziness. Very serious. And he was dead. And then Balaramji just threw him. Like children throw a frisbee. He threw Dhenukasura, and Dhenukasura went swirling around in the sky and landed on top of one of the biggest of the tall trees. And the tall tree, on the weight of Dhenukasura, started trembling and shaking, and it started hitting other trees, and they started shaking, and then it fell into one tree, and it fell down, and the other hit another tree, and that fell down, and soon so many trees were shaking and falling. Now, Dhenuka's friends, they were seriously offended by this. So they all at the same time came charging out, and Krishna stood in front of Balaram. And he took the first one, and Balaram took the next one, and they were just... till they were all finished. And the devatas were showering flowers, and all the cowherd boys were jumping up and down and clapping their hands and crying out, Well done, well done. But then the cowherd boys wouldn't eat the fruit because the blood of the asses contaminated the place. But other people were coming and eating the fruits. Now Thakur Bhaktivinoda in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita explains how each of the asuras in Vrindavan represent obstacles on the path of pure devotional service for each of us. Denukasura represents ignorance of our eternal soul and our relationship with God due to our material egos, and even accumulating masses of mundane knowledge without understanding its real purpose. It makes us foolish like an ass from a spiritual perspective. Srila Prabhupada explains the nature of an ass is it carries heavy, heavy burdens. Just to eat a little grass. Yes? Now, Prabhupada said there's grass all over on the side of the road, but they can just put down the burden and eat it. But somehow or other, they're conditioned to think that they have to work and slave and carry this burden all day, and then their owner gives them some grass. So the real nourishment that we want is right inside of our own hearts. But we think we have to cultivate all this knowledge and work so hard for pleasure. Hard work. Prabhupada wanted us to work hard, but not fruitlessly. Denukasura and his people were really attached to the fruits of their labor. But the cowherd boys, they wanted to offer all the fruits to Krishna. So when we work really hard, like Arjuna, and offer the fruits to Krishna, that will liberate us. That's an expression of love. But to work so hard just to accumulate it for ourselves, we should learn from Denukasura. So Sri Balaramji, who is represented by the spiritual master, helps us through knowledge and through direction to overcome this foolish jackass-like mentality of fruitive activities and ignorance from within the heart. Then Krishna, after doing this with Balaram, they went back to Vrindavan. And the very young gopis were gazing upon Krishna like bees drinking honey. Their eyes were so much intoxicated by seeing Krishna. And Krishna was gazing upon them. And within the hearts of their hearts, they were embracing. Then Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Rohini, they bathed Krishna and Balaram, gave them nice food, decorated with ornaments, and then put them to rest. Another day, Krishna and Balaram were playing so many wonderful games. Sometimes they'd play with balls, sometimes they would imitate animals. But one particular cowherd boy, for whatever reason, didn't come out to join them that day. So a demon named Pralamba, who was considered the greatest of the asuras, by his mystic powers, he disguised himself exactly as that cowherd boy. It's very scary. And he was playing the role so expertly, just like that, so he wouldn't be detected. And his idea is at the least expected moment, he would kill Krishna and Balaram. He was Kamsa's deputed agent. So Krishna understood that. And he was thinking, this demon has taken the role of my own friend. So he decided that today we will make two teams and we will have various games and fight. And the losers have to carry the winners on their shoulders. So they were playing, and Pralamba took the side of Krishna, because he didn't want to fight Krishna, because Krishna killed a lot of demons. He wanted to fight Balaram first. So they were playing, and Krishna lost. They lost the game. It was a game where they were attacking each other. They're little children. But now, how is it Krishna loses? The example is given that sometimes a father is wrestling with a little son. It's like, we have a father and a son here. You know, the son's 5 years old, the father's 5 years old. Now, in that wrestling match, if the father wanted to, he could just pick up the son and go... No problem. Any father could do that to a little tiny son. But is that fun for the child? Is that fun for the father? But the father, just to give pleasure to the son, will, the son will be jumping on him, and the father will fall down, and no, and the son is going, and the father says, I give up, and the son starts dancing, Mommy, all my brothers, I beat up father, and father said, yes, he beat me up. Now that's fun, because it's a reciprocation of love. Krishna wants to make his devotees happy. So Krishna would lose just to give pleasure to his devotees and just to show the world that he's conquered by the love of his devotees, willingly. So Krishna carried Sri Rama on his shoulders, and Pralamba carried Balaram on his shoulders. Now where they were playing, Krishna guided them in this game to Bandiravan, where there is a bandira tree, the Bandiravat. And it is described in the scriptures, it's a huge tree which is like a giant cloud. Heavenly tree with deep green foliage of leaves and fruits. And from there, they were supposed to just carry the winners just a little way, but Pralamba was running more and more and more, deeper and deeper into the forest. He wanted to go to a secluded place to attack Balaram. And it is explained, Balaram appeared to be a little fearful. Why is that? Again, his lila. Because he was thinking that this friend of mine is a demon. I'm going to have to kill somebody who's taken the role of my own friend. So he increased his weight. Balaram became really heavy. And Pralambasura, he was under so much stress that he could no longer contain his mystic disguise in its original form. Giant like a mountain. It is described that he looked like a dark cloud. His golden ornaments were like lightning, and Balaram was like the full moon. And Balaram was thinking, how has my little friend changed in every way? And then Balaram, just with his hand, his little cowherd hand, he made a fist and punched the head. Pralambasura's head cracked open. And very beautifully, he vomited. I mean, can you imagine a demon like that vomiting? It's gigantic. Can you imagine how much came out? But because it was connected to Balaram, it was actually beautiful. The spiritual energy, everything is inconceivable. And then he fell to the ground. He was liberated. And all the cowherd boys, they all came to greet Balaram, and they embraced him, and they were dancing and clapping their hands, saying, "Well done, well done." Just as if he had returned from the dead, they celebrated. Bhaktivinoda explains that Pralambasura represents the anartha within our heart of the desire to enjoy sexual relationships with the opposite sex and the desire for subtle sex of profit, adoration, and distinction. You see, the opposite sex looks very like it's could give you great satisfaction. And similarly, making big profits and adoration and distinction also appears like it could bring you great satisfaction. But it's like Pralambasura. Pralambasura disguised himself as a friend, promising to give pleasure. So these things appear to be our friends, but actually they're only there to kill the Krishna consciousness within us, to kill our spiritual strength if we give in to them. In any military strategy, we understand that having good spies is crippling to the enemy. Thousands of soldiers are not as effective as one good spy, because they find out everything about you or about your enemy. What are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? So when Maya appears to destroy us spiritually, but she appears in a way that we trust, we put our faith, we put our trust, very dangerous. So we require the strength of Balaram coming through Guru Parampara, through the wisdom, the guidance, and the service they give us, to somehow or other resist and overcome these temptations, which are such huge stumbling blocks on the path back to Vrindavan. Years later, Krishna and Balaram were brought by Akrura across the Yamuna to Mathura, then to Dwarka, and then by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord, the Kurukshetra war was about to be fought. And Balaram was so transcendental that he liked everybody. He was good friends with Duryodhana. And he was good friends with the Pandavas. So he didn't want to fight. Krishna took the side of the Pandavas. That's a long story how he did that. But Balaram didn't want to fight against Duryodhana, because Duryodhana was his student. Balaram taught him how to play, and he liked him. And he loved the Pandavas. And he just wasn't into this fratricidal wars. So he just left and went on pilgrimage. And during his pilgrimage, and I'm going to end real soon because I know you all have to go, he came to Naimasharanya, which is considered in the Vedic literatures to be the hub of the wheel of the universe of Lord Brahma. And there in Naimasharanya, all the sages were performing a yajna, a sacrifice. And part of the yajna was they would choose a very, very learned and very qualified person to speak to them every day. And the person they selected was a direct disciple of Srila Vyasadeva. His name was Romaharshan Sutta. So when Balaram came in, Romaharshan Sutta was sitting on a seat, high seat. And all the great Brahmins and sages were sitting at his feet listening to him. When Balaramji came, everybody bowed down to Balaram. Everyone stood up to greet him with folded hands, and they worshipped him and offered him so many lovely words and different articles of refreshments and to make him happy. But Roma Harshan Sutta, sitting on the high seat, in the middle of speaking something, he did not show any honor or respect to Balaram. Balaramji, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sees the intent in our hearts. Srila Prabhupada writes in this way, Krishna accepts not the thing that is offered or the form that is offered, he accepts the intent, the purpose in which it is offered. Krishna is bhavagrahi, which means he accepts our loving emotions and our actions and all of our rituals and all of our spiritual practices and all of our forms of services are just ways of expressing our intent and ways of cultivating deeper and deeper devotion. So he saw that in the heart of Roma Harshan there was arrogance. He was learned. He was in the most prestigious position. All the sages were sitting at his feet. And he was thinking that he did not have to offer respect to another. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained when Keshava Kashmiri came into Navadvip in the same mode. He told his friends that a great person who has good qualities is like a tree with heavy ripened fruits. That tree bows down to everyone because of the weight of the fruits. Similarly, a person who has good qualities is very much eager to bow down and offer respect to all others. A person who keeps his head up like that is one who doesn't have the fruits of any real good qualities. And Lord Chaitanya said, soon this Keshav Kashmiri, his pride will be cut down. It's just a matter of time. So Balaram saw this in Roma Harshan Sutta, arrogance. And he became angry, transcendentally angry. And he spoke very boldly so that everyone could hear. He looked right at Roma Harshan Sutta and said, although he is the disciple of the divine sage Vyasadeva, and although he has thoroughly studied many scriptures from Vyasadeva, including the histories, the itihastas, the books of law, spiritual law, the Puranas, and so many others, still, despite all of his study, he has not developed good character. Therefore, all of his study is like an actor preparing for his role on stage. Because he does not have humility or self-control, all of his studies, all of his spiritual activities are in vain. And he has no control of his mind. Then Balaram continued by saying, I have descended into this world to establish the true principles of religion and expose hypocrites like this. Then Balaram picked up one blade of grass, Kusha grass, and walked right up to Roma Harshan Sutta, who was sitting on the Vyasasan, and touched him with one blade of grass. Roma Harshan Sutta immediately fell dead. The sages were shocked. They cried out really loud, alas, alas, you killed him! How how is this? He was our guru. Before he started his lecture, we blessed him with our Brahmanical powers, with the benedictions, that he would live a long life. And now he's dead. We are thinking that if you atone for this offense, it will be a good example for everyone else in the future. So Balaramji, he said, oh, then I will bring him back to life right now and give him all his benedictions and more right away. And they said, no, 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 whatever you did with the Kushi grass has to be like that. So Balaramji said, it is explained in the Shastras and in through culture that the father lives through the son. So bring me his son, and I will transfer all the blessings you gave to Roma Harshan Sutta to his son, who was Sutta Goswami, the speaker in Naimasharanya of the entire of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Lord Balaramji asked, now give me some atonement. And they said, you should go to all, 1 year you should go to all holy places. So Balaram did it. He went on their order. He went to different holy places for 1 year and bathed in all the rivers and did prayers and rituals and everything, just to show the example of others. That is Sri Balaramji. Narottam Das Thakur prayed, Brajendra Nandana je Sachi Shuta Hoilo She Balaram Hoilo Nitai. That the son of Nanda Maharaj has appeared as Sachi's beloved son, Lord Gauranga. And Balaram has appeared as Nityananda Prabhu. That same Balaram who punished Roma Harshan Sutta in the age of Kali is so merciful. Although he's all powerful, the source of all strength, material and spiritual. On the order of Lord Chaitanya, he and Haridas Thakur were going out every day begging people to take the names of Krishna. He took that kusha grass and put it in his mouth, between his teeth, which is an act of the greatest humility. The grass that you're stepping on, I'm putting in my teeth. And he would go to each house. Lochan Das Thakur explains how he did this in one song. Akrodha Paramananda Nityananda Rai. Nityananda never got angry. Balaram got really angry, but Nityananda, his anger was... his manifestation of compassion was so accommodating and magnanimous. He was going door to door with folded palms and tears in his eyes, begging people to take the name of Krishna. And sometimes he was rebuked, criticized, condemned, blasphemed. And instead of retaliating, well, to speak of Roma Harshan just didn't stand up. These people were cursing Nityananda. And Nityananda Prabhu would just cry and fall at their feet and roll like a golden mountain, begging them, please take the name of Krishna. And the culmination was when he approached Jagai and Madhai took a pot and beat him on the head. And was blasting him with so many harsh words and was prepared to kill him and beat him again. And Nityananda Prabhu, he didn't even need kusha grass. He could have killed him in a second. But instead, Nityananda Prabhu was standing there, covered with blood, clothes soaked, with folded palms and tears of compassion, begging him, I don't mind what you've done, please take the name of Krishna. It pains me to see you in your ignorance. take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. And when Lord Chaitanya came to kill these miscreants himself, Nityananda Prabhu was begging and pleading for him to forgive them and give them love of God. That is how Balaram has appeared in this age of Kali. And he is our only hope. And Srila Prabhupada, how he was the manifested representative of Nityananda Prabhu. Traveling throughout the world, just forgiving everyone, all the jagais and madhais and everything else, begging them, take the name of Krishna and be happy. Balaram's purpose is to give love of Krishna to the world. Nityananda Prabhu manifested the supreme extent of that mercy. On this holy day, let us bow at his lotus feet and pray from our heart of hearts to Sri Balaram Nityananda Prabhu and Srila Prabhupada for the spiritual strength to overcome our weaknesses individually and collectively and be sincere and empowered instruments of their grace. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Balaramji ki jai. Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki jai. Now Nityananda Prabhu was very fond of Nam Sankirtan. So I think the best way to celebrate is kirtan. Thank you very much.
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Hari Rama Hari Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Yadavaya Nama Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Nama
Sanatana Bhatavagunata Sri Rupa Sanatana Bhatavagunata
Jiva Gopala Datta Dasa Raghunatha
Also, the heart is like a field. And Balaram's, when we take shelter of Lord Balaram with his plow, he plows our heart and makes it soft and suitable for the seed of Krishna Prem to grow. To him we offer our sincerest gratitude and prayers. Thank you very much.